The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, joining us now is one of Britain's best-known entertainers. He is a true all-rounder. You'll probably know him from presenting things like Family Fortunes, acting in Coronation Street, but he has done it all, and he is still doing it because he's fresh off the stage at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, where his show opened last night. It is the brilliant Les Dennis.
Morning, Les. Lovely to see you.
How was last night? Waitress.
It was great. It's such a wonderful show, and I mean, audience, it's the only musical I've ever been in where it's like a rock concert. They go crazy. Carrie Hope Fletcher plays Jenna, and she is phenomenal. And she sings the song She Used to Be Mine, and the audience just don't
wild.
Stop.
And how do you find that as an actor, if the audience is going crazy?
I love it. It's great. Absolutely. I play old Joe, who runs the pie diner that she works at.
He's a curmudgeon, is he?
He's a curmudgeon, although when I read his kind of resume of what he's like, it said with a buttercream centre. So he's got a good heart.
You, from what I have read about you, you seem to love acting on the stage. Is that where your heart is?
I think it is now, absolutely. I mean, presenting and comedy was my, early years. And I loved it, but I think it's a young man's game. So I love playing a character in a company now, very much.
Comedy was where you started, wasn't it? The stand-up.
I started, it wasn't even called stand-up when I started. It was called me act. I started in the working men's clubs in the 70s.
And how does that happen? How do you start?
Well, I mean, I think when I was young, I used to watch Sunday Night at the London Palladium with Jimmy Tarbuck and think, I want to do that,
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved it.
And so you packed up your bag and off you went.
I started doing the clubs while I was still at school. I've never had a proper job. This is all I've ever done.
Those working man clubs, though, I mean, that's tough. That's a tough audience.
It is tough, and when you first start, I was 16, 17, I was going into clubs where they were expecting a blue middle-aged comic with the bow tie and the kind of frilly shirt, and it was tough, but I got through, and you're always as good as your last show, and as long as my last show was good, I was enjoying it.
You earned your stripes there. And then how do you get from that to where you got to, huge TV stuff?
I did talent shows. I did New Faces, the kind of ITV talent show. And I was on that with Victoria Wood, and neither of us won. So, you just keep plodding away. And then I got into the Russ Abbott Madhouse. And that was my break, really. I met Dustin G, my former partner, who sadly died far too early at 43.
He died at 43.
Yeah.
And you two were like brothers.
We were absolutely storming it. We had our own two TV shows, one on ITV and one on BBC. And, we did the Royal Variety and all those big shows. And we had Summer Seasons in Blackpool. And it was really kind of firing for us. They were calling us the new two Ronnies and the new Morecambe and Wise. But we lost him too early.
And that hit you really hard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, really hard. I mean, he went, he collapsed in the dressing room while we were in performance and panto in Southport, and died in the hospital 2 days later. And, the rug had been swept from under me and I didn't know what to do. I was back to being a solo act again.
But you went on performing.
I went on performing,
Like even around the time of his death, I remember you reflected on that.
I
was reading.
I did. In my book, I reflected on the fact that I don't know, I was persuaded by producers that the show must go on. In fact, I called my autobiography, Must the Show Go On? Because I now don't agree with that, I went back into the panto that we were in, working with Jim Bowen in Dustin's costumes. It was bizarre. It was a really, really weird time.
And then afterwards, when you come out the other side of that, you get time to reflect. I would imagine that you went, what was that?
Absolutely. You don't have time to grieve. And, mental health is so important now. But at that time, we were just told to get on with it,
Mm-hmm. So Family Fortunes then, was that the big one?
That came along. the year after Dustin died. And yeah, that was the that put me on telly every week for, you know, 26 weeks of the year for 16 years. So it was a great show to do. Yeah, huge.
But of course,
show.
You were recording that in blocks. So yeah. How long did it take you to do the 26?
It would take 3 weeks to record for the 26 weeks, which like, meant that, then.
That's a great gig, Les.
It is, because then I could go out and decide, because I wanted to act, I could go and do a play for 250 quid a week in rep and learn the craft of acting.
Because you had. You had earned
your
time, money.
I had the time to do it.
You'd done Family of Fortunes. And it was brilliant because you had the freedom to do that, but you've got the profile of the programme being on the telly. Yeah. So then we learned from that your real passion was learning the craft of acting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved it. Yeah, I did. I think my first big thing was Me and My Girl, the musical. And I loved that. But then I wanted to do some real heavy drama, and the next thing that I did, which was real baptism by fire, was David Hare's Skylight, following the likes of Bill Nighy. Challenging myself, but it was great. And
did you find it difficult to break into that world? Because here you were, the game show host,
wanting
to tread the boards.
Absolutely, it takes a while to be taken seriously in it. You know, so many years. I used to call Denise Welsh and say, "I'm a revelation again," because she was the same as me. Because she did Loose Women and kind of variety stuff, she was not taken seriously as an actor, and she's a really good actor.
Yes.
And whenever she got a review, it was always a revelation. They're quite good.
Okay, I'm surprised that you're good at this. In other words,
good. Yeah.
And did you ever feel like you needed to go and train? That maybe that would be validation for those who thought that you weren't.
When I very first started, I thought about training, but I'd already started making money in the clubs, and so I didn't go down the drama school route. My daughter is currently trying to do that right now, and we're waiting to hear about whether she's got a place this September. But I decided that, you know, I would learn on the job, and lots of actors said to me, "This is where you learn. This is where you learn.
This is where you
learn."
And
you know, I went to the RSC and worked with all those brilliant, well-trained actors, and they all said to me, "Look, you know, what you're doing is the right thing."
Yeah, was that a huge achievement for you, the Royal Shakespeare Company?
To go to the Royal Shakespeare Company and to actually be there with my niece. My niece Jodie McNee was playing the lead in Venice Preserved, and I played her father. So my mum, if she'd been still around, she would have been so thrilled to have granddaughter and son at the RSC.
Was she interested in the arts?
Oh, she loved it. Yeah, absolutely. She had a really good voice, and had, when she was, I think, 14, had the chance to sing solo at the Liverpool Cathedral and then to go on a talent show that was around then called called Carol Levis Discovers, and he met her and said, come tomorrow and I'll audition you. And she ran home and told her mum, and she said, "No, you start work tomorrow in the Bobbins Works." So she missed out.
Sliding doors moment.
Yeah.
I was looking back on Extras last night.
Oh,
with Ricky Gervais.
Yes,
I was
absolutely.
Like, do you know what? I said, I'm going to look at a few clips. And I ended up watching the entire episode. It's a brilliant piece of television.
It's a really good
it?
Episode. And Ricky, you know, always very kindly when I see him says, "Oh, it's everybody's favourite." And it's nice to have that, because so many of the A-listers were just doing cameos, but this one, they wrote it around me, which was great.
Because you were going through a really tough time at that
time,
period.
Yeah.
And I think everybody was going, "What's he done this for?"
Yeah,
actually, it was the best thing you could have done.
I had friends who were going, "Are you sure you shouldn't be doing this? You know, they're taking the mickey, don't do it." And then when it came out, they went, "Yeah, it was a good move."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And along, wrapped up in all of those hard times, there was the phone tapping scandal. I think people forget your name in all of this.
9 years.
I was
tapped hacked for 9 years.
So what were they doing? News of the World journalists listening to your phone messages?
Yeah, they listened to your voice messages, because nobody, well then, and I don't know whether people don't do it even now, don't put a lock on their voice message, on their voicemail, and they can just go into the code and get into your voice messages. Mm-hmm. Well, they call you. This is what they used to do. They would call on one phone, and then another journalist would be on another one while you're trying going, hello, who's this? They're tapping into your voice message.
Yeah, listening to everything. So you were looking at stories of about you.
Yeah,
in
including
the news of
the fake shake.
The fake shake. Yeah.
The fake shake went after me. I was asked by my then agent to go and meet these producers, so-called producers, for something, a TV project in Marbella. And I went out and had dinner with them and they went, do you want to come back for hookers and coke? And it was the fake shake. And I saw the memo when we were talking to journalists, talking to lawyers about it. And there was a memo from the News of the World saying, you can get Les Dennis on coke, go, go, go. So they were.
So it was a sting.
Trying to, honey trap or, you know, sting,
but
yeah.
When it
yeah.
came to listening to your messages, were there stories appearing in the paper where you were going, how can they possibly know that?
You start to kind of not trust anybody. And, you know, they always say a close friend says. But the close friend is the journalist who's.
Well, you're sitting there
your
going, which one of my friends?
Exactly, absolutely.
or and family.
And you start to worry about that. I think that's what happened to poor Jude Law, and his marriage broke up because of it.
Yeah, well, there were so many people who were victims of that. Yeah. Starting, of course, with Millie Dowler, you know, that young girl who was murdered.
And I remember when people said to me, it was when I was doing Coronation Street, they said, you've got to go for this. You've got to, you know, you've got to go and get lawyers for this. I said, no, it's for the likes of Millie Dowler. You know, they were the ones that were really kind of harassed, and people said, no, it's important that you do as well. So,
and what do you feel the toll of all that was on you?
The toll of it was, I mean, it was 9 years of kind of, well, I didn't know it was 9 years, but I knew that I was in the papers for the most ridiculous things. You know, if I took the dog for a walk, and I leant down to pick something up. You know, there was a camera there all the time at that time. You know, it was crazy.
You probably don't miss that, do you?
Now I don't
that you're
miss
in a
that
different phase.
No, no.
Because, you know, I mean, it's difficult for you, but it's difficult for, you know, your family as well.
Yeah,
you have three
exactly.
children. So
absolutely.
If you were still at that stage.
Right. Oh, it would
be tricky.
It would be silly. Yeah. Yeah.
So you mentioned
I moved back to out of the Shire.
Yeah. You moved out of the Shire.
I'm into Mordor for a while, but then I'm back. I'm back in the Shire.
Yeah. And how is life from that perspective now? Because you've gone from like 16 years of being, of being Mr. Family, then Coronation Street.
Yes.
I mean, look, that's
a
whole other
show,
level.
Yeah.
And, you know, people feel that they own you, don't you? When you're in Coronation Street, you're theirs.
Yeah, absolutely. But I loved that. I mean, what I loved about it was that people were calling me by the character name, and I thought they believe it. They believe in Michael Rodwell, so that I didn't mind. Whereas other actors go, no, I'm not so-and-so. This is my real name.
Yeah, well, you see, Les Dennis is such a character.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a great trick to be able to convince them that you were Michael.
I was somebody else.
So you won that battle.
I won that battle, yeah.
But you're happy enough to be, I mean, you're still doing it. You're still on stage.
Still doing it, 72 and still doing it.
72, but not at that level of fame, perhaps, where you're in the papers every day. Because
it's just lovely to be part of a company and to be able to, you know, be able to come and talk to you because, you know, my profile allows that, you know, to be able to promote.
But you still do bits of telly, don't you?
Little bits of telly, yeah.
Like Countdown.
I go into Dictionary Corner very often, but a couple of times now when why is his name just flown
Colin,
out of my head?
Isn't it?
Colin. Yeah. When Colin has been ill, I've gone in and sat in the seat. In the hot seat.
I mean, I always watched Countdown. I remember when I was in school and I found it really intimidating. I thought, gosh, you'd have to be really clever to be on Countdown really fast.
Yeah.
Is it like that?
It is like that. You know, kind of, I mean, it's not for us because we sit in Dictionary Corner and if we get a four-letter word, we're not penalised. It's the two contestants.
But
it's
do you feel under
them.
Pressure to work out the quizzes
you have
all the time?
You have to do it. Yeah, yeah. I sit there with the team and do that. Yeah.
But do you enjoy that sort of puzzling? I mean, do you enjoy
do.
That in your, are
I
you a Wordle fan?
I've been on, I've just done, which will be out later this year, the new version of House of Games. I did it with Richard Osman and won the trophy for the week. But I've just been on with Michael Sheen has taken over as host of that. And he's delightful and really, really good at it.
He's very talented, isn't he, Michael?
He's massively
Sheen.
Talented.
So you've got lots going on.
Lots going on,
the heart is in acting.
Yeah.
And your children then? You mentioned you've got a daughter who's...
My daughter, Ellie, is... Yeah, I've got young kids. I mean, she's 18 now and she's just applied. She's going to New York in 2 weeks to do the Stella Adler summer course. And Stella Adler, she's not around anymore, but she taught Marlon Brando. So she's doing a 9-week drama course.
So she wants to be an actress.
She does.
Have you any more actors or showbiz people?
I've got my son, Tom, who's 15, and he's just been given, I found out today, a tie. And my wife, Claire, said, what's this tie for? He said, oh, I've been made drama prefect.
So you've got another one.
Seems to be another one.
And how do you feel about that, about them going into the industry?
I was encouraged by my parents, you know, who'd never done it before. My dad was very suspicious of it. He was like, get a proper job. But my mum really encouraged me. So I wouldn't discourage them. Mm-hmm. But I think you should, you know, there's no such thing as a job for life anymore. So just go for your dreams, follow your dreams.
But the public side of it is really difficult. Like if either of your children are really successful, mm-hmm. you know exactly what that's going to bring.
I will know. But they've seen that as well. Mm-hmm. They haven't seen it to the degree, but they know about it. They know what I went through, you know, when I was married to Amanda Holden. They know all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel you've dealt with all of that? I mean, I didn't really want to bring Amanda into this conversation. You've mentioned her name. And I just remember at that time, and gosh, you mentioned Heat Magazine in the Extras programme, there was such focus on a story like that. I mean, that must have been a very tough
like
time.
I felt like I'd murdered somebody. I had like cars outside my front door for 6 weeks, you know.
Well, you hadn't done anything wrong.
I know exactly. No, but I would wake up, open the curtains, and there were six cars with photographers in, sat outside for 6 weeks. And I was doing, at the time, I was doing Chicago. So I was running into my mate's car, and there were photographers bouncing off the car as I was taken to the theatre to do my job.
Yeah. I mean, that is...
It was crazy. It was a crazy time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember how you felt when you were making those dashes out to the car?
Yeah, I mean, I dealt with it in my autobiography. You know, I really kind of was as honest as possible about all the ups and downs of my career. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I dealt with it, yeah.
But you were still able to get on the stage and do your job in Chicago at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And just keep going.
Yeah, playing a cuckolded husband.
But there's a thing.
Life and art, hey.
Listen, let's go back then to the board. Gosh, you are, as you said yourself, a 72-year-old man doing two shows a day in a tour that goes across the UK and Ireland. Why would you do that to yourself?
I love it. I still love it. And, you know, I've just signed up. I can't tell you about it now, but I'm signed up to my next year's job. And I just love being challenged all the time.
But do you take time off? Like, do you sit back and enjoy your achievements?
Yeah. You know, my kids also know that if I'm around, I'm there, you know, nonstop. I do school runs. I do everything with them. And when I'm not around, you know, even I get up in the morning to call them on the school run. You know, I don't sleep in when I could do.
You're busy. You're a very involved dad then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people still stop you on the street, I'm sure. And
they
want autographs and all of
that. That's nice.
But you like that, do you?
Yeah, it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
Les, it's been such a pleasure.
Lovely talking
to chat to you. Thanks for coming in. Waitress is on at the Board Gosh Theatre, but it's only on for a few days.
It's only on till Saturday night, but we have matinees today, tomorrow, and Saturday. So I get Friday during the day to discover as much as I can of Dublin.
Well, we'll hope to see you out and about on Friday. Yeah. And I hope you get time to have your dinner on those days when you're doing two shows. God bless you. Thank you so much. That's Les Dennis for coming in to see us. We'll take a break back after this.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.